This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Can you give us a snapshot of the ethic of the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam during the month of Ramadan? The following narration gives you a sneak peek into their ethic in Ramadan. Al-Mu'alla ibn Fadl, he would say that كانوا يدعون الله تعالى ستة أشهر أن يبلغهم رمضان. They used to ask Allah Almighty 6 months in advance of Ramadan that Allah would grant them lives long enough to reach Ramadan. ويدعونه ستة أشهر أن يتقبل منهم. And they would ask Allah the Almighty 6 months after Ramadan to accept their fasting. SubhanAllah. So if their ethic was such that their preparations for Ramadan started 6 months in advance, then what then of their worship when the month of Ramadan actually arrived? SubhanAllah. Let's take a look. First of all, their approach to the Qur'an. Some of our predecessors in Ramadan would complete the full recitation of the Qur'an every 10 nights. Some of them every 7 nights. Some of them every 3 nights. In fact, it's authentically attributed to Imam al-Shafi'i that he would recite the Qur'an from cover to cover 60 times in the month of Ramadan, other than the recitation of Qur'an during his prayer. And Qatada, one of the second generation Muslims, would recite the Qur'an from cover to cover every 7 days outside of Ramadan, then every 3 days in Ramadan, and then once every single night in the last 10 nights of Ramadan. So this was their way, subhanAllah, a total immersion into the Qur'an when the month of Ramadan arrives. In fact, Az-Zuhri, another second generation scholar, he would suspend all of his classes on hadith and knowledge in the month of Ramadan. And he would say, فَإِنَّمَا هُوَ تِلَاوَةُ الْقُرْآنِ وَإِطْعَامُ الطَّعَامِ. It's now about the recitation of the Qur'an and the distribution of food. Now it may have occurred to you as well, as you heard these narrations, that the Prophet ﷺ actually discouraged the recitation of the Qur'an from cover to cover in less than 3 days. So how is it that all of these notable scholars seemingly went against this instruction? The answer was given by Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali, who said that the prohibition on reading the Qur'an entirely in less than 3 days is to be understood as referring to doing this persistently. But as for the virtuous seasons, like the month of Ramadan, especially on the nights on which Laylatul Qadr is sought, the last 10 nights of Ramadan, or in virtuous places, he says, like in Mecca, for those who go there and they're not residents, then it's desirable to read a great deal of Qur'an so as to make the most of that time or that place. This was also the understanding of Imam Ahmad and others. So this was something of a snapshot about their approach to the Qur'an. As for their approach to salah, subhanAllah, they reveled in the joys of praying to Allah Almighty at night. They savored every moment in communication with their Lord. As-Sa'ib ibn Zayd, he said, كان القارئ يقرأ بالمئين يعني بمئات الآيات. The leader of the prayer, the Imam, would recite hundreds of verses at a time. حتى كنا نعتمد على العصي من طول القيام وما كانوا ينصرفون إلا عند الفجر. He said, we would need to lean on sticks. We would need to lean on sticks because our feet couldn't carry us by the time we'd finished the prayer. And by the time the salah was finished, we'd have to rush and have our suhoor before the fajr comes in. It was moments away from fajr, subhanAllah. So this is phenomenal. And this is a snapshot about a snapshot on their salah. As for their approach to fasting, far from stopping at the elemental level of fasting, meaning just abstaining from food and drink and every other aspect that nullifies siyam, no, every aspect of their existence would fast with them. They avoided everything that could possibly detract from the worth of their fasting. Jabir ibn Abdullah, the companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, إِذَا صُمْتَ فَلْيَصُمْ سَمْعُكَ وَبَصَرُكَ وَلِسَانُكَ عَنِ الْكَذِبِ وَالْمَحَارِمِ. He said, when you fast, make sure that your ears and your eyes and your tongue are also fasting from false testament and sins. He said, وَدَعَ ذَا الْجَارِ وَلْيَكُنْ عَلَيْكَ وَقَارِ وَسَكِينَ يَوْمَ صَوْمِكَ. He said, refrain from harming your neighbor and be defined by elegance and composure on the day of your fasting. وَلَا تَجْعَلْ يَوْمَ صَوْمِكَ وَيَوْمَ فِطْرِكَ سَوَاءً. And he said, don't make the day of your fasting and the day that you're not fasting the same. Don't make them the same. So this is just a snapshot of what we know of their worship and ethic in the month of Ramadan. Bearing in mind, of course, they really made an effort to hide their deeds, so we won't know the full picture. As Muhammad ibn Aslam, our predecessors, one of them, he said that لَوْ قَدَرْتُ أَنْ أَتَطَوَّعَ حَيْثُ لَا يَرَانِ مَلَكَائِ لَفَعَلْتُ خَوْفًا مِنَ الرِّيَاءِ. He said that if I was able to carry out voluntary acts of worship in a place where even my two angelic scribes could not see me, I would have done that from the fear of showing off. So in short, the Ramadan of our predecessors was about abstaining from the physical, the spiritual detractors of fasting, immersion into the Quran, the giving of charity, the prayer at night, the fleeing from sins, apologies to Allah, wise use of time, distribution of food, and busying themselves with the hereafter building projects.